Reggie Jackson was born in Pennsylvania in the spring of 1946, just like my dad. Jackson never played for the Phillies, and in those days before interleague play, he never played against them either. My dad was a casual fan of his then, tied together by a loose kinship. I never grew up on stories of Reggie, except this one. On the night of October 18, 1977, when the Yankees faced the Dodgers in Game 6 of the World Series, my dad had a work meeting in Philadelphia. He listened to the radio broadcast on his drive to our home in Flowertown, Pennsylvania, not far from Jackson's hometown of Wincote. In the bottom of the eighth inning, Jackson launched a Charlie Huff knuckleball into the faraway black bleachers at Yankee Stadium. It was his third home run of the night, off three consecutive pitches from three different pitchers, all but sealing the Yankees' first championship in 15 years. The moment was so overwhelming that my dad pulled off to the side of Stenton Avenue, got out of his car, raised his hands over his head, and yelled, "Wow!" Reggie made him stop everything just to cheer for greatness. That night stamped Jackson forever as the archetype of the clutch World Series performer, the man at his best under pressure. He had worn the nickname Mr. October for only a few weeks, a throwaway line from teammate Thurman Munson that fit so perfectly it would one day be etched onto Jackson's plaque at the Hall of Fame, rendered in the same size type as Jackson's given name. It crowns him with a kind of halo that resonates across sports. In 2016, after watching LeBron James lead the Cleveland Cavaliers to the championship in Game 7 of the NBA Finals in Oakland, Jackson sought out the hero in the locker room. James was tying his shoe when Jackson tapped him on the shoulder to introduce himself. He didn't need to. "I know who you are," James said. "You're Mr. October." Jackson lived the role James has perfected, mercenary with a mandate to fulfill a promise, a leader who cherishes the responsibility of putting rings on teammates' fingers. In five World Series for the A's and the Yankees, Jackson batted .357 with 10 home runs and 24 runs batted in. Mickey Mantle holds the career record for World Series homers with 18, but Jackson's .755 slugging percentage is by far the highest in World Series history among players with at least 100 plate appearances. "Handling pressure," Jackson explains, "does not always show in results." In one of his most famous World Series at-bats, in 1978, Jackson struck out against Dodgers rookie Bob Welch to end Game 2. But he fought Welch for 9 pitches, all fastballs, power versus power, spellbinding theater. And 6 days later, it was Jackson who threw the knockout punch, homering off Welch to cap the Yankees' clinching victory in Los Angeles. Jackson likes to say that as long as a hitter has a bat in his hands, he can change the narrative around him. The bat, in other words, is more powerful than even the noisiest microphone, and Jackson needed that feeling of control. He was the biggest star for teams owned by Charles O. Finley and George Steinbrenner, autocrats who never understood how their decorated rosters could possibly lose. In his first World Series for each of them, in 1973 for the A's and 1977 for the Yankees, Jackson was named MVP. Facing elimination against Tom Seaver and the Mets in 73, Jackson drilled 2 run-scoring doubles in a close win. Then he homered off John Matlack to put away Game 7. From then on, October was his favorite month. "I started to believe that when the postseason came, I'd be better," Jackson says. "I started believing in the headlines. I started believing what was written and almost relied on it. It came to the point where I'm gonna be good, I'm not worried. As soon as October gets here, I'll wear the opponents down and be me." All told, in a postseason career that stretched through age 40 with the 1986 Angels, Reggie was Reggie. His .885 on-base plus slugging percentage in 77 games was close to his .846 mark across 21 regular seasons. Given a large enough sample, that's how it typically goes for most players. But Jackson's dominance in his 5 World Series seemed to be so much more than a statistical blip. To watch sports is to believe, or yearn to believe, that certain athletes can will themselves to heights we've never seen. How else to explain David Ortiz's otherworldly statistics, a .455 average and a .1372 on-base plus slugging percentage, both records for players with 50 plate appearances, in 3 World Series for the Boston Red Sox?